Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks. Season 3 is going to be about all my favorite topics, including slow living, inner work, entrepreneurship, creativity, spirituality, slow traveling, and health. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Viola.
Hello, Ophélie. Nice to see you and hear you.
Nice to see you too. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Viola, you are a mentor for single ladies. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear more about your work.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a delight.
We met at this entrepreneur evening that Bianca organized in Basel in October, I think. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think what I liked is that we had an authentic conversation right from the beginning, right?
Yes. Yep.
Even now when I said hello to you before I started recording, I was starting to say, I'm good. And then I was like, no, actually, I'm not that great. And then you shared also how you are. And yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yes, me too. I think we just need to move away from that superficial behavior that we throw at each other, which isn't helpful for anybody. So
no.
Let's just be honest and authentic.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like shit. How do you feel?
Yeah, well, if that's the truth, that's the truth.
Yeah, there's this, we constantly see happy faces on Instagram. And of course, I also tend to put a picture where I smile. It's, you know, what we're used to do. But
yeah,
cannot be rosy all the time.
No, can't be. It's not natural. It's not human. You know, there's yin and yang. There's light and darkness. Mm-hmm. And we tend to forget that darkness is needed to see the light. Mm-hmm. And especially that you mentioned Instagram. I mean, the algorithm of Instagram even pushes smiley faces and holds not so happy faces back, which is kind of weird, you know, because what do we show in the end? Mm. And I mean, there's a lot of resentment that come from that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I see myself, you know, I go on Instagram, and in the end, I feel worse than in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Why? Because we compare. That's what we do as human beings. We compare. Mm-hmm. And we think, oh my gosh, everybody's having a fantastic life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just here, not even feeling good. So it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, it's true. But we're still both on it.
Yep, we're still both on it.
And let's start with that then. So it was clear I wanted to do a podcast with you since the second we started talking, but let's say the minute we started talking. Mm-hmm. And I wrote you when I saw the post, let us be happy, or let us accept our happiness. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you wanted to develop a little bit on that.
Mm. So I think that post was that we doubt so much. And I work with single ladies, as you said in the beginning. I'm a mentor for single ladies who are usually really strong, determined, independent women who are in control of their entire life, but don't have a partner. Mm-hmm. And wish to have a relationship. I mean, I'm not the mentor that says you should have a relationship to be happy. I am convinced that we can be as happy in a relationship as being single. Mm-hmm. So relationship isn't equal to happiness at all. I think we know that all by now. And what I observe within my community is that there's so much doubt. And that there's so much fear that there isn't going to be the one for me, that we're not going to have the relationship we want. So what I see, and this was the base for that post, what I see is that people, or especially in my field, that single ladies are doubting so much. And They with me, they learn how to date, how to meet people, how to go out, how to kind of know who's a good fit for me, etc. And then there's the inner dialogue coming up. It's like, oh my gosh, am I good enough? Is there anybody for me? If I find anybody, will I lose my independence? That's what I hear a lot. Just had a kickoff meeting with a new client this morning. And what I usually ask is say, okay, in one sentence, why are you single? And she says, I didn't even finish the sentence. She was like, I'm single because I don't want to lose my independency. She blurted that out. And the second she said, I could see in her face, she was like, oh my God. She just heard her inner belief that she's going to lose her independence, and she's such a strong, determined woman and has a great career and everything. So there's the doubt. We doubt. We are afraid. And that post, the message of this post was, can we just be more in the moment? Can we just enjoy what's there? Can we just be, then just, start over analyzing the minute we meet somebody, and it's like our mind starts to race, and it's like, oh, I don't like his or her pants, or the way he or she laughs, or I don't feel it, I don't feel the spark, so this can't be right. It's like a million reasons why this could be wrong. And I teach my clients to be in the moment, to see what's right here, right now. And I mean, I even for me, it's a way of practicing, of training, to just not overanalyze all the things, because what happens is we don't look, we don't observe, we don't see what is there, we don't observe ourselves. We can't, we're just in our mind going, "Doo!" And we don't even see the other person. But we just kind of life have a inner picture how it should be. And life isn't usually how it should be and doesn't resemble any pictures. And that's the thing. I teach my single ladies to be in the moment and see what's there, feel what's there. And not be so much in either the future. Oh, is he going to be the right man for me? Is she going to be the right partner for me? But how is this right now? And that was that post about, can we be in the moment and enjoy what's here right now?
Yeah, I feel that that's in general what I mean in my coaching world or spiritual world, it's what the gurus keep saying. Focus on the now, come back to the now, or in meditation, or all those practices. Yeah. So you do you teach mindfulness in a way?
Yes. I teach mindfulness in a way, although I probably would never
Call
call it that way, I guess.
it,
What I call it, and I don't know if it's the same word in English because I work in German, but it's like dedication, like dedicate yourself to the process, dedicate yourself to the feeling, to the experience. It's just have that dedication. It's like I always compare it with the picture of a surfer. You lay on your board and you see the waves coming and you start paddling, but you have no clue if you're going to catch and ride that wave. You have no clue. It's sometimes that wave just crashes over you and you are soaking wet in and outside. And sometimes you just see it coming and you think, oh gosh, I'm not going to make it, and you dive under it. Or you think like, okay, I'm gonna make it, and you jump on your board and you surf that wave, and for me, life is the same. We paddle and we're right in the moment. You know, we're right there and we count things like, oh, what I'm gonna have for dinner tonight. The moment that wave's coming, you're doing nothing else than just kind of like dedicate yourself to that experience. And I think life, and especially love and falling in love and finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, is just like surfing.
I like the comparison. Do you surf?
No, I don't, not yet.
Not
but
yet.
it's on my like to-do it. List.
But you know, yeah, the feeling.
Yeah.
With that in mind, that surfer image, that being in the moment, is there even Mr. or Mrs. Right?
Depends how you look at it. Yes, definitely. There is definitely Mr. or Mrs. Right. But it's probably not that person that you think. It's we do have an image in our head who is Mr. or Mrs. Right that is usually formed by our experiences. As you know, it's like one of the most common things I observe in my work is that if you have been cheated on, your Mr. or your Mrs. Right is someone who doesn't cheat, who's trustful. So the picture that you have in your mind is based on your experience and based on fear to experience the same things again that have hurt. Usually this person isn't necessarily Mr. or Mrs. Right, but it's our image that we have and our wish based on fear. Who is our Mr. or Mrs. Right comes down to who we are, the experiences we have with relationship, in terms of what we've learned, in terms of love, of, you know, really show up, what we've learned during childhood. It's like, you know, then there's always this balance between independence that we strive for, even as little children, who goes like, I want to do it by myself, you know, that strive for doing it ourselves, but also that need to feel connected. So it's also, it's always a balance between wanted to be connected and wanted to be independent. And this experience of what we've experienced, what love means in the balance or in the disbalance of connection and independence, is one personality trait that shapes our love life. And then there's other things like our values, the goals we have in life, communication, humor, physical attraction. So it's these things that determine who's our Mr. or our Mrs. Right. And it's much less an image of, oh, I want him or her to be like blah, 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 blah. But it more boils down to who we are. That's one thing. The other thing is we know from science that there's more or less three ways to fall in love, or why we fall in love. One is that the person in front of us resembles something from our parents. And we are reminded of that most of the time unconsciously, and feel attracted to it because it feels like home. Or it's the entire opposite. The person is just not like my dad and just not like my mom, and I'm so glad and I fall in love because of that. That's one thing. The other thing is that this person that's our date or whatever has personality traits or has interests or whatever that we wish we had, but we don't. So we find them in somebody else. And we fall in love with that trait of that person, but not the whole person. And that's usually kind of like a wake-up call then later on, where I think, oh God, I fell in love because of that. I didn't even look at the rest of the person. And the third reason why we fall in love, and that is something I observe a lot in my clients, is that we fall in love with a person that has a personality traits that we have as well, but that we don't want to see, or that we even detest in ourselves and push away. But they still come around in the form of another person. And then we can, you know, we can go crazy with that personality trait of that other person, or we take the chance and look at our own traits that usually are really, really hidden in the dark. And, you know, when asked, we wouldn't say, no, I'm not like that. But there's a lot in us that we don't want to see. And that's the third reason why we fall in love. And then we don't understand why we fall in love with a person that gets so much on our nerves. But it's actually our own story. So is there a Mr. or Mrs. Right? Yes, there definitely is. If we see, and that's my deepest belief, if we see relationships as a, that sounds really unsexy and unromantic, I know, but as a tool, or an instrument for development. It's like, you know, I can look at my partners that I had, and I mean, yeah, I know why I fell in love with them. And I've learned so much from each of them. So yes, there's, and I mean, there's even books that say every person that's by your side is your Mr. or Mrs. Right. And there's also a lot of books that say just love yourself and everything's fine. And I don't agree at all. I don't agree. There's also a lot of my clients come to me and say, I know I should love myself more. And then I find a partner. I was like, no.
It.
If you have to love yourself first before you find a partner, then 99% of the people would be single. So
Amazing.
that's not what is needed. It helps, but it's not needed at all.
So what is needed, or what do you recommend to your clients, or what would be the first thing to do to get a partner, or
First thing to do is get clarity who matches you. As what I said, is usually I see people, you know, go on Tinder or Parship or whatever and date the hell out of them. Or I say, whoa, stop. Let's just find out who you are and who's a good match. That's the first thing. Yeah. Know who you are and who's a good match.
So rather than you can love yourself, but rather like know yourself
Yes,
first.
yes. And then there's, I mean, you know, you might love yourself one day and then hate yourself guts the next day, and that's just real. And then, you know, so many then say, okay, that's okay that you don't love yourself, but just accept that you don't love yourself. And I mean, whoever can do that, I admire. I can't. There's days where I hate myself, and I'm not okay that I hate myself. I hate myself that I hate myself. So get real, people, is, you know, it's like,
I love it.
and none of that is really needed to find a partner.
So you have to know yourself, and then
Know yourself, and with knowing yourself, you also get to know your conditioning. It's like, you know, when, for example, when you've learned that for being loved, you have to perform. You know, it's like early on, you have to bring good grades back from school, or you have to whatever, and you learn love. I get love only when I behave in a certain way. Or I lose my independence when I'm in a relationship. All those things that we've learned, they condition us. And based on our condition, we behave. And what I usually do with my parents, yeah, gosh, where did that come from? That's weird. With our what I do with my clients is I teach them who are yourself, and who is a good match for you. And secondly, I say, let's go and date. Because when you date, all your conditioning comes up. And we can do so much personal development. You know, it's like I have clients who have read every book there is on the market on personal development stuff, whatever. I say, well, you know, the know-how is a first step. But now you need to go out and actually apply a different behavior. it doesn't help to just work on yourself, but you're not going out and getting the experience. So what I teach, what is needed is, yes, know thyself, know thy match, know thy conditioning, and know what behavior comes out from that conditioning. It's like, for example, a lot of my clients get, you know, they know who they are, they know what they, or who their fit is, or a good match would be, and then they go out and then they get really nervous. You know, and then they have a date and they start to either draw away, pull away, or they start to, you know, get, how do you say, clingy, overthink, overanalyze, and you know, get in this head space. And there you see the behavior. Say, okay, what's coming up? Oh, that conditioning, oh, that conditioning, oh, that conditioning is coming up. And how do you behave now based on that conditioning? And how can you behave better? How can you behave not based on your conditioning? That's always a past conditioning. But how can you behave based on the future that you would like to acquire, that relationship that you would like to have? So that's the second thing, the whole thing about conditioning and behavior. And the third thing that I teach and that is necessary is just meet people. It's so simple. It's logical math in the end. You know, if you meet one person a week, you have 52 times a chance a year to meet the right person. And then you think that this person has probably other people in their network that might be a good fit for you. So you even have like double or three times the chance to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right. So learning how to date in a way also here that fits your personality is key, because most people just go, oh, I need to go online, oh, I need to do this, oh, I need to do that, I hate that, I don't do it, and then they're miserable, and then they sacrifice their dream of a good relationship. And I teach them to date in a way that fits their personality, because then they have fun. Then they're motivated. Then they keep on going. Even if 10 dates are shit or 90 dates are shit, they keep on going. I have clients that tell me like 2 years later, I found the one and I'm so happy. And why did they found the one? Because they followed up with their own dating strategy that we've developed together. Yeah.
That's like cool that. when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have clients who are looking for a partner, or do you have clients also who are in a relationship and who are struggling in a relationship?
No, my clients are single ladies. My partner is a relationship coach, and I wouldn't want to interfere. And it's not my expertise. It's really not my expertise. It's of course I do have a lot of clients that meet somebody while we work together, and then I help them in the beginning of a relationship, because that's a crucial time for the rest of the relationship is this first couple of months, and very often I'm by their side during that time. But I don't have clients that are like in relationship for 10 years or so.
You send them to your partner.
Yes.
Perfect. Where did you meet? Can I ask that?
Yes. Yeah, it's actually kind of a weird story. It's we had the same business mentor, and we've met at the conference, at the physical conference here in Zurich. And you know, he was just one of the guys, because usually this mentor has only or like works with female business entrepreneurs, but he was also in the group and he was one of the guys, and we chatted during break, and for me it was like, yeah, it's just one of the guys, no interest at all. And then we said goodbye, and you know, we followed each other on Instagram, and you know, you like and you comment sometimes, whatever. And then the pandemic hit, and he posted something of like for couples, pandemic, blah blah blah. And I commented on it and said, you know, it's the same for singles. It's not, because I was so pissed. Everybody was talking about families, and you know, and I was like, yeah, I know, I get it. It's tough as families and homeschooling, but it's also tough being single. So I commented something, and he commented back, and I commented, and he commented, and he was like, "Hey, interesting to talk to you. Do you want to hop on a Zoom call?" And honestly, I mean, it was the pandemic, it was lockdown, and it was like, "Yeah, got nothing else to do. Sure, why not?" So we had a Zoom call, and that was it. It zoomed somehow. Yeah. How did you meet?
On Tinder.
On Tinder. You're a Tinder success story. That's cool.
And it's funny because his sister is as well. She got married and she also met her husband on Tinder. They have two kids. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's funny because Tinder for me was supposed to, I mean, I want to ask you more, but I can also tell you quickly. I was gonna go on Tinder just to prove a point or just to. No, I always said, I don't want to tell my grandchildren that I met their partner on Tinder
Why
on a
not?
dating app. I was that kind of a old school person and still am. But yeah, then I thought, you know what? I cannot talk about something that I don't know of.
True.
So I
Yes.
will just go on it and I want to write a little blog post about it. And I did my little research, you know, like a journalist that I'm not. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun, actually. I met really interesting people. And my husband was my last date because at some point there were so many dates, my brain was going crazy. And I thought that's way too much input, too much to, you know, like once a week, maybe. And it depends what happens during the date, right?
Of
And
course.
we don't need to get into details, but for me it was too much. And because it's still, you know, you still give every, you give it all, you know, on a date you open, or that's what I do. I open up and I say everything about my life, and then you hear a bit everything about the other person's life. And yeah, it's, you create connections whether you want or not. Anyway, I decided to have it at one, this last date with my now husband, and to then cancel the app because I had 1 month on it. That was enough.
I
Effective.
just wanted to say, people, listen up. She said 1 month and she met her husband. Holy moly.
But I had more than one date a week.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. I teach a method to date, and I hear that you've done most of it exactly how I teach it.
Amazing.
Not all parts. There are the parts where I go like, no, but yes, meet people, meet a lot of people is crucial. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was summer, you know.
Yeah, cool. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, but it is also time consuming. I had not much to do, to be honest, at the time, but yeah, it's time and energy consuming, I think,
Is.
to meet new people on a regular basis.
It is. But here's like what I teach is that what I see is like most people invest too much too early. It's like, you know, you go on a date, and I said the first day is a half an hour coffee.
Oh wow, okay.
Not more. No, it's not you go there and you have 3 hours together and you share half of your life. That is energy consuming.
Yeah, that
And
is.
that is disappointing if it's not working out because you've given so much and you've probably hurt so much. So the first day is like half an hour. And then you get a feeling if you want to see that person again. And then the next day is probably an hour.
But how do you do to just say, I have half an hour? I would be so bad at that to be like, okay, half an hour, then bye. Because if it's nice, you
Oh, well,
still.
if it's nice, you can still stay, but most people agree on a meeting or on a date, and they have already in their mind, oh, it's going to be the half afternoon. Whereas set expectation and said, hey,
Ah,
let's just
okay.
grab a coffee, get to know each other, and then see how we go. So the expectation is clear, and I said, you know, don't make all the fuss, don't go and make your hair, don't, you know, just right after work. I mean, show your true self, just right after work, meet for a short drink or a coffee or whatever, and then move on. And when you communicate that clearly and say, hey, you know, I just wanna meet quickly and see, you know, if we want to get to know ourselves further, let's meet up for half an hour. And then, yes, then you have people who's like, what? You only want to see me for half an hour? Okay. Yeah.
I'm busy. You can always say you're busy.
Everybody's busy nowadays. It's always we're busy. We're always busy. I mean, we don't even allow to say, oh, I'm chilled. Oh, good. No, busy. No, I'm not. We don't say that.
I do. My coaching is called slow living, so I kind of
Nice.
say it.
Yeah, you need to live it.
I need to live it totally. I told my mom the other day, she didn't understand what my coaching was about. I was like, I do slow living, mom. Doesn't it make so much sense? She was like,
Yeah, it's probably not generation, but I think
whatever. No, it's, yeah.
yeah, everybody's busy. Yeah. So yeah,
So half an
dating.
hour coffee or 1 hour
Yeah.
coffee, and that's smart, yeah. To
Yeah.
invest. I definitely invested too much, but I
It
don't
worked for
regret.
you. So, and that's the thing, you know, I have clients that say, no, I can't do that. And I said, that's fine. I mean, for me, the most important thing is that you follow your own personality, and that you do things your way. And dating is exactly that. Do it your way, but before you decide which is your way, learn how to do it correctly and then decide. Because what I see is like people say, oh, online is not for me. But you know what? I have never had a client, once she's learned how to do online dating correctly, that she didn't use it afterwards. Never. Never. They were all like, oh my gosh, I didn't know there's so much to know about this. There's so much to learn about this. I just used Tinder because all my colleagues did it and had success, so I did it. And I hated it because this and this and this. But there's a lot of know-how behind using a dating app that we need to know to actually enjoy it. And I have so many clients that say, oh, I've never thought that I would actually enjoy online dating. But they do. And it's because they learned how to do it. That's the thing with love and with dating, and you know, it's like for everything, we learn, we gain experience, we gain a certificate, a whatever. And in love, that's like for most of us, the most important thing in life, we just stumble ahead. We just think, oh, it just has to work because it's natural. Bullshit, it's not.
It's not.
But we don't invest in love. We don't, you know, we don't learn the skills for love. And I just always wonder, why not? You know, oh, it's, you know, whatever. And then it's funny. I mean, I often have like a discussion with somebody who says, oh, I just can't afford your mentoring. And then I see on Instagram, oh, okay, but they're right now in South Africa, on a 3 weeks safari, whatever. I think like that's kind of interesting. You know, it's
It's
like, okay.
priorities,
Yeah.
or it's thinking that we don't need to learn that it should be in us already, that we should know already, but
it's not.
And
It's
there
not
is
enough.
so much conditioning from society, from movies,
yeah,
from we see how our parents did and maybe we didn't like it, so we tried to do the opposite, and then
yes,
that maybe doesn't work either. And
complicated. And that's the thing that we don't, you know, we look at others, we look at role models, we look at, and we don't find them. Especially in love, we don't find them. And we, you know, I mean, I never forget that one incident I had, like at the Sunday morning brunch with friends, and you're the only single, and you look at the relationships and you think, oh my God, if this is relationship, I'd rather stay single, and I'm so happy I can go home on my own. So we don't have role models. And because we don't have that, we think it's not possible, but that's wrong. But what we need is the courage and the clarity to find our own way. But we look at others and we don't see what we would aspire for us, and we give up, which is a pity, because we're talking about love. We're not talking about, should I buy a Chanel bag or something because my friend has one. We're talking about, like, that the thing that we call the most important thing in our life besides health, and we give up on it. Or we think, oh, okay, I'm okay as single. Now I hear somebody say, I'm okay as single. That's okay. It's totally okay. Do you want to have a relationship? Yeah, it'd be nice, but I'm okay as single. It's like, okay, do you want a relationship? Yes or no?
It's scary also to open yourself up for a relationship, for someone else. It's very scary to be vulnerable.
It is. But for me, it was always like, you know, I had so many relationships, and I've been through, I guess, everything. And I'm afraid of relationships. I don't know how you call it in English. Anyway, I'm afraid of relationships. I'm afraid of losing my independence. I tend to either lose my independence, totally forget about myself, and lose myself, give myself up until I don't know myself, or I don't even, you know, give myself in and just hide away all the time, and I'm just never in the relationship. So I've been through a lot. And now I lost the red thread and what I wanted to say. Sorry.
No problem. So you've been through many relationships, or?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. You said it's hard to open up. And but for me, the biggest lesson in life was, yes, it's hard to open up. Yes, it's hard to be hurt. And it's hard to hurt other people. It's really hard. But for myself, what I've always found is that it's even harder to be 90 or whatever at the end of my life, look back and think, I wish I had. I wish I had opened up. I wish I had gone for my dreams of a relationship that works. I wish I had. And for me, that's always like, oh my God, I never, ever want to be in that position that I look back and think, I wish I had. For me, that's the worst. And I rather try to open up again, even though I've been hurt many, many times and I've hurt other people. And yes, I could say, you know what? I'm done with love. It hurts so bloody much. But yeah, that is life. And yes, it's hard to open up. And yes, it's hard. That fear of being hurt again. Yes, it's hard. It is really hard, and it's real. But I'd rather deal with that and learn how to deal with that than looking back one day and say, I wish I had. And all of my clients, everybody says, I'm fine as single, but I don't want to grow old alone. I don't want to grow old alone. And that's exactly it. Like, okay, if you don't want that, do something now. Don't wait until you're 70. And yes, you still can meet someone at 70, that's for sure. But and then they say, oh my gosh, I wish I wish I would have met this person earlier and we would have these last 30 years together. But I kept telling myself I'm okay as single because actually I was afraid of being hurt. And that just can't be, can it?
Yeah, that's a nice sentence.
So yeah, it's tough to open up. Tough. I'm so with you on that. It is tough, but we can learn it. We can do it again and again and again, even if we've been hurt.
So I think love is, you know, often in movies it's like, oh, I fell in love. It's like you fall into it, you know, you're like, ah, oops. And yeah, maybe at the beginning, right? But then to stay in love, I tell my mom, for example, it's a decision. Do you say the same thing to your clients, or do you have the same philosophy?
Absolutely. And I mean, we've talked earlier on why we fall in love. And in the end, falling in love is a hormone rush thing. And yes, I'm with you. Love is a decision, and love is also a verb to love. And I mean, if I see it on myself, how many times do I just nag on my partner and think, okay, that's nothing like love, you know? How do I behave in a loving way? And why am I nagging? What is actually my issue? And very often it's my problem and has nothing to do with my partner. But using relationship as a development tool, as we've said earlier, that is a decision. That is a decision to just take that relationship and say, wow, that's like a gift from the universe to me that I can develop. Do I take it or do I just send it back and say, return to sender, address unknown or something? I mean, we know, I don't know about you, but you know, it's like, okay, it's not this relationship. Then the next relationship comes and the problem comes again. So, you know, what's it got to do with me? And yes, I'm with you. It's a decision and it's a verb.
And it's still hard.
It does. You know, love can bring us to the most beautiful feelings and to the worst feelings. It can bring the best out of us and it can bring the absolutely worst out of us. And that's life. And that's the beauty of life. And, you know, it's like, I always say, how do you want to live life? You know, and in a hospital, there's like when they measure your heart frequency, it goes like this up and down, beep, 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 and that's life. But we all say we want a balance. So what we actually want is that, is this straight line going, but that's not life. Life is up and down, beep, 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 and not knee. Why do we strive for knee? It's not life. That's that.
I will remember that forever.
Which one? Which part?
The
Yeah, I mean,
beep.
come
And why do we
on.
want the beep?
Yeah, right. I mean, you will get that sooner than you probably want. So live life to the fullest. Live it, you know, live it in color, live it, yeah. Live it. We are so, oh, you know, we're so, I don't know, like we've always walk around with a like in a raincoat, it seems. You know, it's like we have this thick raincoat on that, oh gosh, not getting hurt and not getting involved. And you know, we protect ourselves all the time. And I mean, of course, that's valid. But if that raincoat hinders us from living our full life, what good is that then? And that brings me back to that in the end to say, oh, I wish I had.
Amazing. I would like to. I'm sure you have many, many more things to say that are like this wisdom nugget, but I think I would like to to stop here if that feels okay.
Absolutely. I haven't even asked back. You know, I have so
You
many questions for
haven't.
you. We're gonna turn this conversation around and I'm gonna interview you.
Did you have questions that came up, or you just
I
enjoyed?
always have question, you know me.
Do you have one now?
Yeah, what is it when you look back, when you're at, you know, in your last hours, what is it that you want to look back at? How do you want to have lived your life then, looking back and say, hey, I did this and I did that, and that's how I lived my life.
Wow, that's an amazing question.
Especially in love, or
Especially in love.
in the topic of love, how do you want to look back? Listeners, you should see her face now.
I'm thinking my hardest. No, but I think so right now I'm in this phase of I threw my vision board and I don't really have. I was just talking to a friend and she was talking about the second cycle of a woman's life and how we are like in the mid-30s, you know, how we are maybe evolving towards something else than traveling and having fun. Or, I mean, fun hopefully will still be here, but I'm in a transition phase, I feel. And I in this transition phase, I don't have and I don't want to have a vision board and things I want to manifest and all that. I've done that a lot, and now I just want to focus on how I want to feel for now. Maybe, you know, I'll have new dreams and I, probably, but I also realized a lot that many of my wants have a lot of fear behind or a lot of conditioning. And I was gonna even write a book about helping people to find what they want. And I stopped, or it will be something totally different because it just does not make sense anymore for me. Because even when I thought, I know, but this is my heart that wants that. No, there is still, you want recognition. You want your dad to love you. You want all these things. You know, you want to prove yourself. You want to. So I've stopped since last month, since the fall, and I let things go and I do tabula rasa a little bit and I see now, okay, what is it? So maybe my number one word is peace. I want to feel at peace when I'm whatever age, next to the fireplace or whatever. And happy, healthy, hopefully, more these qualities than in love. Hopefully, by then, I open my heart, you know, because I still feel that there is some work to be done there. I want to be myself also a lot, whether it is in a relationship or. You know, I want to say, yes, of course, I want to be with my husband and I want to lie with him in front of the fireplace and all these things, but I don't know. I don't know.
I understand.
Right now, I really, yes, there's this romantic image that kind of also, again, it's a conditioning, you know, like the you with your, like my grandparents had so many fights, you know. I don't even think they were happy. So again, this role model that we don't have. So I cannot really answer the question, I think.
Well, what I've heard is that you seek peace, and that you seek what I translate as the experience of pure love. So when you say it's like, okay, I want to learn how to open my heart, I mean, what is there when you open your heart? What's behind that open heart? Is that, you know, it's like that trust, that love in the end, that experience of love. And of connection most of the time, that just flows. And I think that is much more than just being that bound to a partner. I mean, if I don't know about you, but if I take this moment, just this moment right now, this is where we kind of started with, isn't it peaceful right now?
Yeah, totally. Yes. It's
And
crazy, no?
doesn't it feel like a pure connection and just pure love? So we're there,
Amazing.
just right in this moment. And that's the thing, I think. And if it's, and I mean, we don't sit in front of a fireplace, etc., but the qualities that we're seeking that are here, we're usually right here.
It's amazing. It's an
Amen.
amazing ending. Yeah. But it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. It is peaceful. It's so weird how it went from kind of a meh mood to Tinder experience. Ah,
Yeah.
it was so cool. To peace. It was interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's okay that the next minute peace is gone. But usually, and I mean that comes back to what you said here about awareness. If we are in a moment, usually in that moment we find peace. Is that easy? Hell
Well, it's definitely easier with someone like you right now, right? Because I have no idea what happens in coaching or therapy, but you held the space.
no.
I was reflecting, and somehow peace was there.
And that's the thing, you know, and that, and for me, that's the reason for our relationships. We need each other. We need relationships, be it with Mr. or Mrs. Right, or with friends, or with whoever. But we need these deep connection relationships. And usually we find that in a relationship with a partner, sometimes with friends, but we need that. That's the core of our human being is connection. The cure for so many things in the world is connection. The base for our health is connection. So why don't we create it?
And how can people connect with you?
People can connect with me either through my webpage, that's violaheller.com, or on Instagram to, you know, that's, it's usually easier because we can get into a conversation because I love to know everybody that is in my community. And that's on Instagram, underline Viola, underline Heller, underline. Yeah, get in touch, let's connect. So important today.
Yeah. Thank you, Yola. I really appreciated that talk.
I thank you. It was, I thought, oh, it's gonna last half an hour. Like, I should have known better talking to
No way. 1 hour minimum.
you.
I try. I look at the clock. I'm like, oh, well, that's how
Let's
it
go on.
is. Yeah.
That was really beautiful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you all for listening.